Welcome to the Children's Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Doyle. It's nice to be with you today. Today in our podcast, we're going to be listening to part one of a two-part episode called Dynamic Children's Church. In this episode, I'll be exploring along with you several models of children's church. I want you to take a listen, take note, and find out if there's something from this podcast you can use in your children's church service. I hope you enjoy it.
There we go. Welcome to this class. It's called Dynamic Children's Church. My name is Jamie, and I'm a children's pastor in Apple Valley. It's nice to be with you today, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. So put a smile on your face and get ready. Get out a pen or a pencil to write with, because you'll probably want to write down a few things. And if you come up with questions, you might want to write those down and ask. And if I can't answer the question, somebody here might be able to answer that question. So let's start out with a word of prayer. So let's do that now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for every person that's here, not only just in this class, but in this building, and people that are to come even tomorrow for classes and workshops and fellowship. I pray, Lord, that during this time we would be able to sharpen one another, that you'd help us to focus on you in all that we do. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome. I'm glad you guys are here. This, is, of course, is called Dynamic Children's Church. The outline portion with the big yellow headline at the top that says Dynamic Children's Church, that's actually the part that we're going to look at first. And so I want you to think about this for a minute. Romans 8:28. Does anybody know what that says? Would anybody like to take a guess? All things work together for good for those who love who? God. See, I knew children's workers knew the Bible. Isn't that great? And so all things work together for good. So we need to make sure that everything we do, we're doing it for God. A lot of people in children's ministries, I've heard this said before, oh, I'm doing it for the kids. Well, how many of you know kids are going to eat your lunch at some point? I'm doing it for the pastor. Well, how many of you know pastors can let you down sometimes? That's just the way it is. I'm doing it for me. How many of you know that neither of us, any of us in this room, we're no good? We need to do what we do for God. So let's remember to do that. Now, we are responsible to make the most of every moment. Now, if you sat down and did a study on the number of hours that kids spend in church with you, or at church in general, just learning from the Bible, take the average kid. Do you know how many hours per week that kid spends in church? The average kid, almost 2 hours if they have a committed family. But now I want you to think of day by day by day, those kids that are constantly, maybe they're watching TV, playing video games, watching movies, spending time with friends, could be good influences, could be bad influences. They have a whole lot of other things in their life that we're contending with. And we really shouldn't have to contend with those things, but guess what? We are. So this is where Children's Church comes in. And I'm going to tell you and give you a chance to help you. Some people really need help in building a case for why we should have Children's Church. There's kind of a movement going on right now saying that there should be no Children's Church. That it ought to be family worship and the whole family ought to be together and everybody ought to understand what's happening. And you know what? I'm not opposed to having family services together. We do that from time to time. But guess what? How many of you know that when you make a meal for your family, sometimes you have to prepare the kids' portion a little bit differently than you prepare the adult portion? My 5-month-old son cannot sit at the table with me and eat a steak. He has to have a bottle or rice cereal. Doesn't that stuff smell great when they spit up on you? My 2-year-old daughter, she can't sit and have a steak with us. She needs to have something that's easier to cut, pick up, and easier to chew. My 6-year-old son isn't going to sit at the table and have steak with us because he's looking at it and he sees a slab of meat. However, if I took that steak and I ground it up and I made a patty out of it and fried it or broiled it or grilled it, slapped it on a bun with some ketchup, he's going to eat it. It's the same food, but I have to prepare it differently. And so there's nothing wrong with bringing the whole family together. But sometimes you've got to have a chance for kids to experience God on their own. Now, please understand, I'm not against partnering together with parents. That should be a key focal point. But this class, we're going to talk about taking that time that you're with kids in a children's church and how to make the most of every opportunity. So let's talk about what is children's church. Now, there's a lot of different variations on what children's church can or cannot be. And you know what? There really isn't a right or wrong answer. I can give you some general guidelines. From there, you're going to have to take these things and dissect them and cut and paste and make it work for what you do. But I have some general guidelines that I think work for most churches. Do you know what? I hate the front row because it's in my way. All right, there, that gives me a little more room. See, now you're in the front row. You get to have a front row seat. Look, give her a big hand, everybody. It's amazing. Thank you. What's your name?
Linda.
Linda, ladies and gentlemen, it's Linda. All right, Linda. Welcome. I'm glad. Now you'll be able to smell my breath when I speak. I'm glad you're here, Linda. Listen, what is Children's Church? It's a worship service for kids. Now, there are a lot of different formats for Children's Church. And I'm telling you that I believe that the format that we're going to talk about and some of the things that we're going to talk about today, you can apply these things. Okay? Children need the preaching of the Word, too. Would you agree that that's the case? Kids need to hear the preaching of the Word. There was a well-known evangelist who one time in his service, he said, you know what, we don't need children's church. We don't need children's ministry. We just bring the kids in here with everybody else and bless God, their spirits will pick it up. They'll just get it. Now, there is some validity that our spirits pick up things that we don't realize. But Jesus tells a parable about the sower that goes out and sows the seed. And some of the seed fell on the hard ground on the path. And that was in likened to the person who did not understand it. And what happened to the seed that fell on the path? Would anybody like to volunteer and give that answer? What happened to the seed that fell on the path? Yes!
The birds came and took it away.
The birds came and took it away. And likening it to the evil one comes along and steals away what was tried to become a plant or what was tried to be planted. And so we know that we've got to take the preaching of the Word and put it on the level of the kids. The same Bible. We just got to break it down into smaller bite-sized portions. The hamburger, if you will. Man, I wish I had a hamburger right now. Romans 10:14 says, how will they know unless somebody preaches to them? Now the goal of children's church, I list five things. They're simple. And I think we can all agree to this. The goal of Children's Church is to give kids a chance to experience God. Number two, it's to train kids to be worshipers. Have you ever thought about the fact that sometimes you're going to have to stop in the middle of your worship time and teach the kids what they're doing or what they should do and why? And so sometimes you've got to train these kids in how to be worshipers, to bring God's presence into their everyday lives. We want kids to realize how real Jesus is to them. And I'm going to ask you to do a little experiment for me the next time you have a group of kids. I do this from time to time, especially if I'm talking to a new group of kids that I've never talked to, and we have a time where we're just going to pray together. And I'll ask kids this. You ask your group this. Ask them, has anybody ever, while you were by yourself, alone, praying, quiet, you really felt like you heard God tell you something? Raise your hand. And you'll be surprised at the results. There'll be a lot of hands that go up because kids can hear from God. But we want to give them a chance to understand that and realize that so that he can do that every day in their lives. To train kids for a lifetime of service in the local body. I think that kids ought to be actively involved in your children's church service. And I can give you a couple of ideas for that in a few moments, okay? And then finally, to let them experience through doing. And this means everything from prayer time to worship time to giving to just praying for one another to stepping out in faith and trusting God. We want kids to experience through doing. Now, first things first. Pray and decide what God would like you to teach. So many times we want to run out and get this curriculum right away because it's supposed to be the best. And that's fine, there's nothing wrong with that. But you'd better find out what God wants you to do first. Don't use Children's Church as a means for you to relay to the rest of the church how things really ought to be done. And so many times children's pastors and youth pastors get into this rut of, well, our service, we're going to let that be exclusive from what the adults do because we've got it down for real. Something better is happening in this service than the adult service. And we can't allow that to happen. And so what we've got to do is find out what does God want us to teach on. And many times you can find out what God wants you to teach on in Children's Church by listening to your pastor. I believe more than anything that the vision of the house is the best vision. And if you'll get on board with your pastor's vision, you'll be able to do things a whole lot more anointed than it was just on your own, and you're going to get the very best curriculum. I'll never forget a couple of years, this was a number of years ago, and man, we had decided we were going to do this new series in Children's Church. And I had a proposal all ready for after staff meeting. So after staff meetings, I was going to go in to the pastor, and it was going to take a chunk of money to purchase this new curriculum with some of the equipment that would go along with it. And man, I was ready, and I wanted to sell my pastor on this. And you have to understand, I had to really prepare because my pastor, man, he held those purse strings tight. He was the kind of pastor that said, listen, when somebody gives in this church, somebody gives $100 to this church, that represents $1,000 they had to make. So you make sure you get every ounce out of that $100. Get $1,000 worth of something out of that $100. That was his philosophy. There's nothing wrong with that philosophy, but I knew I'm going to have to sell this guy on several hundred dollars of curriculum to do this new series that we want to do. So we're sitting in staff meeting, we come in, and guess what the first thing the pastor says is? He says, guys, I've been praying about what we should do during services. Now, he was talking about big church. You know big church? The big room down the hall or upstairs from you? He said, he's talking about big church. I've got an idea of what we're supposed to do. We've got to go back to the basics. We've got to go back to the foundational teachings. And he said, for the next few months, all my sermons, we're going to talk about the foundational principles and doctrines of the church. So we're going to emphasize salvation. We're going to emphasize healing. We're going to emphasize, basically, we're going to walk through the fundamental truths over the next few months. And right there, that put a great big hole in my proposal. Because I knew I need to throw this proposal away and prepare to take kids on a journey back to the basics. Because that's what my pastor feels the church needs. He feels that the church needs to go back to the basics. So, guess what we did? Right away, the youth pastor and I both at the same time jumped up and said, hey, pastor, how about if we do that in the other services? How about if in the youth service we do that? How about in the kids service we do that? And so we started preparing and planning to take the kids on the fundamentals of faith. And do you want to know something? That was the best series that we ever did in our church. Because kids would go home and talk to their parents about what they learned. And parents would find out that their kids learned the same thing that they were learning about. And they got to talk about it. And they got to connect. So the first thing that you need to do before you run out and buy just the greatest curriculum in the world with the best video clips or DVDs or and it has all the components, make sure that You pray over what you're supposed to do and find out what God wants you to teach. How do you find out what your pastor wants you to teach on? It would be a good idea if you went to church once in a while. Because if you can hear your pastor's heartbeat, that'll help you to know what he's passionate about at that moment. I got a secret for you. Ready? Jesus went to church. You should go to church and find out what your pastor wants. And then take that information and go with it. All right? Now, sometimes if you're working under another ministry director, that curriculum has been decided for you. That lesson series has been decided for you. Guess what? Submit to authority. Okay? That you have to trust that that leader is submitting to the pastor's authority, that that's the proper curriculum or series or teaching that you're supposed to be doing. Submit to authority and do that. Okay? That'll be the best thing for you. The best thing that happens is when you submit to authority. As a matter of fact, I was teaching this to kids a couple of weeks ago. We've been doing this thing on the life of Christ. And so we talked about the centurion's faith. And Jesus said that that guy, he was a centurion. He wasn't a Jew. He had the greatest faith ever. It's because he understood authority. And he submitted to the authority of Jesus. And so understand, submit to authority. This will help your children's church to be dynamic. Okay, choose a curriculum. Once you know what you're supposed to teach on, then choose a curriculum. Yes, sir?
Just one quick comment about the children workers going to church. What we're doing at our church now, we put on a CD, the sermon, the service gets put on a CD, so my wife and others who are working with the children do get a chance to listen to the message.
Absolutely, and that would be a good thing if, obviously many of the sermons in churches are recorded, whether it's on a CD or cassette. Some of your churches are putting those messages online. You can go there anytime and download it and listen to it. I encourage you to do that. If you're not able to get in for a service from time to time, get that. Always find out what your pastor's talking about and preaching on. Okay? Thank you. That's a great idea. And I'm glad you brought that up. So you're hearing your pastor's passion. You're hearing what his direction is for the church. And you have to trust that he's being led by God on this. So submit to authority. Now you know what you're supposed to teach on, or you have a good idea of what direction you should go. So now start looking at curriculum that will fit your needs. Okay? And let me give you a couple of highlights or a couple of things you should look for. A good curriculum will always give you, well, a lesson title. You should probably know what you're going to teach on. Okay? And a main scripture. A main point to get across. And corresponding verses for you to study. If your curriculum does not provide these things up front, dig into it and find this stuff. Now, most publishers today, they put all that stuff on the front page so that you can look at it, know what you're talking about, and have a main point to go off of. Okay? Now, let me just give you a little hint. Don't become bound by a curriculum. Don't allow a curriculum to tell you that you have to do things a certain way and that you can't deviate and try something else and add something in with it. Be ready to take a curriculum and copy it, paste it, cut it, chop it up, throw things out, add things into it. This is how we make a dynamic children's church, by pulling from a lot of different resources. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, okay? So these are good things. Letter C, prepare early in the week to teach. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about the commands and the laws of God are to be upon your heart. Everybody say heart.
Heart.
I've said it once and I'll say it again, so I wrote it down so I'd never forget it. You cannot put anything into a kid's heart unless it's in your heart first. So once you have either curriculum or you've gathered the materials together that you're going to teach on, spend time studying that. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. That's why I like it when a curriculum gives me a lot of corresponding scripture verses and passages to have to study that go along with the lesson. Because you can spend the time reading those things, you can spend the time praying over these things, and then that way you'll be able to minister to kids out of an overflow. Because if you just try to read through the lesson and then do it, and do it in your own strength, that works for a little while. But after a while, you'll just dry up. So you've got to constantly be feeding yourself God's Word, constantly be putting it inside of you so that it's in your heart. That way the kids can hear what's on your heart. And I'll tell you this, kids know when you've prepared. Kids know when you're prepared spiritually. And they may not know that they know that, but there's something, there's some little thing inside of a kid that knows these things. Have you noticed this? Kids know when you're ready and when you're not. I have a good rule, and it's this. If you don't have something planned, the kids always have something planned. And so, and their plan is usually not a good plan, and it doesn't work real well with your plan. So make sure that you've got that stuff on your heart so that it can come from your heart. Now, before we get into the structure of a children's church service, I want to take you through and kind of talk to you through a children's church service at my church. Okay? Now, this is just one example, and I've got some slides that we'll put up here so you can kind of see what we do. And let me just back up for a minute and tell you that you don't have to have a computer slideshow to have a dynamic church service for kids. It doesn't have to be that case. Now, I like it, the kids like it, and I usually have kids running this stuff. But you don't have to have it. It just helps, and it's going to help you to see some of the stuff that we do. And maybe it'll get you, inspire you if you're not using something like either projected or on a TV screen. Or if you're not using something like that, maybe it'll inspire you to say, hey, this could be something that works. So I'll give you a quick demonstration of this, and you're going to have to give me just a moment to get it set up. So this is from our Life of Christ series. Let me scoot it all the way up here. And there we go. The name of our children's church is Kid Zone Church. So there we have our logo. And typically what's happening at the beginning of church service is something exciting is happening. Okay. Usually we've got a music video playing. We're doing big group games. How many of you do group games in your church? You do some games? I found the best place to put those at is as the kids are coming in. Okay? Because it keeps them busy, keeps them occupied, keeps them excited. And we're going to talk about why you want to keep kids excited at the beginning as we get into the structure of a children's service. So we're going to walk through this, and then we'll relate this to the structures that we'll show you on your other page that has the chart on it. Okay? So we've got this up here. Now what I want to do is we want to get the kids focused right away on something exciting. It's time for us to start. This is the starting moment. And here's what I found out. If you just have a room full of kids and they come in and sit down, maybe they're running around, maybe they're wrestling, and you could stand up there with a microphone and say, okay, everybody, okay, it's time to start. Okay, it's time to start. And do you think they're going to hear you? No, they're not going to hear you, because you need to give them a reason to focus. You need to give them something they can be involved in so that they know this is the starting time. This is time for us to pay attention and listen and to get to our seats and get ready. So one of the things that I do is we'll do a countdown. And there are some children's ministry curriculums that do DVDs with countdowns on it. I had a kid in my church put together a countdown, just a real simple presentation. So you see this. And what we do is we put music to it. Let me just turn up the music so you can hear it. We'll put music to it and we'll announce, all right, everybody, it's time for the countdown. And everybody gets ready, because every kid, for some reason, wants the countdown from 10. I don't know what that is with kids, but they, for some reason, it makes them feel like I'm smart, because I can count backwards from 10. And then, of course, then we allow them at that, when it's time, at the end of the countdown, we let them just stand up and cheer and jump out of their seats and cheer. And then they know it's time for us to start. So I'll give you an example. You might not hear it. Okay, so here's, can you hear the music? So here's the countdown, okay? And then it starts. So let's do 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on, let's give a big cheer, everybody. Yes, all right. See, you guys are great. Isn't that wonderful? Now, listen, here's what I'll do. I want the kids to right away be excited about being here. And so If they all didn't join us for the countdown, we'll stop and go back. All right, let's try it again. Come on, everybody. Let's get it. I want to hear the biggest cheer in the world. Matter of fact, so loud the kids in the next neighborhood can hear you. As a matter of fact, we're going to cheer so loud that your mom and dad right now, as they're sitting in church with their Bible, when you cheer, their Bible just goes, ah, and it flies up in the air because it was so loud. Well, then you have a reason. Those kids have a reason to want to do what you're asking them to do. Okay? I'll tell you something else that was kind of funny. And we have a kid. It's so fun to hear stories that he tells. He's not a kid, he's a pastor on staff, who years ago, he was in the same children's church that Dan Rector taught at Bloomington Assembly. And he talks about how when he was a kid, he would get the kids cheering, like they would all do a big amen, or they would all cheer about something. And he would tell the kids before they cheered, he would say, now listen, you know what? I want you to cheer for Jesus this time so loud that the head usher has to come in here and tell us to quiet down because we're too loud for the whole church. And so he would have the kids cheer, and like 10 seconds later, the head usher would walk in the back and go, Big Dan, it's too loud. You guys are just way too loud. And then all the kids cheered again. They were just so excited about that. Well, obviously, he had this all set up beforehand. Well, so he's telling me this, and I said, well, I've never done that. We're going to do that. So I told the kids, listen, kids, we're going to do this so loud that one of the pastors in the lobby is going to think we're too loud and is going to have to come in here and tell us to quiet down. So I set it up with that guy that was Pastor Joe Anderson, came in, running in, and went, Pastor Jamie, whoa, this is way too loud. And the kids all turned around and cheered again. This was great. So we got them all excited and excited to be there. And I want to tell you something. Kids want to be loud. And typically when they're at home, if they were just to run through the house and yell at the top of their lungs, they'd get in trouble. But at church, we give them a controlled environment to do it. Now there's two kinds of chaos. There's controlled chaos, and there's out-of-control chaos. Controlled chaos is better. So give them an opportunity to do things they really want to do. And one of the things that they're going to want to do is to cheer. So we get them all in, we give them a focal point, and then we do something else with them. We'll start off with some kind of a fun, exciting song. I don't know if you can hear it or not. This is one of the songs programmed in here. You know the song, Every Move I Make. Have you heard this before? It's been a while since we've done it, but I had it on this program. And so this is a song where it gets the kids up out of their seats. They're going to get them up moving around, doing all kinds of actions and having fun. And at the end of the song, then, of course, they cheer. And we won't go through the whole song, but we had somebody set this up as a movie, so it just plays by itself. It's kind of cool. All right, so we'll move on from there. Then we have rules. We got to go with the rules. Does this look like your senior pastor? I hope not. So we have rules. We want the kids to know that we're going to be here, we're going to have a lot of fun, but we got to have some rules. Now, I've heard people say that, now, you should not use rules with negatives in it. So you shouldn't use rules and say, you can't do this or don't do that. You know, instead of saying, don't talk, tell the kids, listen to everything. Well, that doesn't tell the kid that they can't ever talk. It just means don't, you know, just you can listen. A lot of kids are good at listening and talking and yelling and acting out, all kinds of stuff. So I don't buy it. I tell kids exactly what's expected of them. Now, you can decide what you want to do. But we have four rules, and they're simple. The first one is this. Don't leave your seat without permission. Stay right where you are. A few moments, you're going to get permission to get up out of your chair. So we tell the kids, this is the rule. But in a moment, you're going to get to break that rule. But only when I tell you. I'm giving you permission to break it. So don't leave your seat unless you get permission. So I might give you permission. I'm looking for kids that are sitting up straight so that they can come up and help us with something. Every kid wants to help. So they're going to sit up straight and pay attention. When it's time to stand up and sing, I tell the kids, listen, I'm going to let you all get up out of your chair right now. Jump up right now. Let's sing the song. And man, they're ready to go because they get to break the rule. But I gave him permission to break the rule. Do you see how this works? Here's the next one. Don't talk without a microphone. This makes it real easy because if I want the kids to talk, I can walk up to them with the microphone and say, hello, what's your name? And you say,
Jerry.
See? And I can say, and do you love Jesus?
Yes.
And who built the big boat with all the animals on it?
No.
That's right. Give her a big round of applause, everybody. Woo! Now, the other thing that I can do is I can tell the kids, now listen, in a few moments you're all going to yell out the answer, but that means that we all get to have the microphone together. So, everybody, who's the guy that died on the cross for us? His name starts with a J. Everybody say his name right now!
Jesus.
Oh, thank you. See, you all got to have a chance to yell into the microphone together. So, there we go. So, they get a chance to listen, but they know I get to answer the question if I come up and he has the microphone. Now, this also helps me because I can say, oh, I'm sorry. Wait, you don't have a microphone. I do right here. So just a moment, and I might have you help me, but I need you to listen. So this helps me, gives me some ammo to let them know that the microphone becomes kind of like that talking feather. Do you remember that? Where if you have that, you can talk. If you don't have it, keep your mouth quiet. I'm going to pop you right in the... No, I'm just kidding. No. All right, the next one. Wear a name tag. Our name tags are also part of our security device, and so we want kids to leave their name tags on. Our name tags are a self-adhesive back name tag, and we tell the kids that if you take off your name tag, you're breaking the rules, which means that you may not get a chance to win the Quiet Seat Prize, or you might not get a chance to come up and help because we only pick kids that follow the rules. And also I tell them, at the end, you get to add your name tag to our name tag ball. Because when they're sticky back like that, you can start creating a ball out of it. One summer we had a name tag ball that big. Kids just, at the end of church, they just add their name tag to the giant name tag ball. And I keep telling the kids, listen, if you take it off and stick it, and take it off and stick it, it's not going to stick to the name tag ball. So keep your name tags on, and this will help us. So wear a name tag. Keep it on. All right, and finally, this is a rule where I get to cheat a little bit. Obey all rules. And I tell the kids this covers the first few rules and any extra ones that we have to make after that. So if some kid is climbing around underneath his chair, although it says don't leave your seat without permission, he may say, I'm underneath my seat. I'm not leaving it. Because how many of you know there are a whole lot of smart alecks out there in your children's churches? And so I can say, well, you know what? Today I'm making a special rule. You don't get underneath your chair. Stay up on top of it so we can see you. Thank you very much. Young lady, stop kissing all the boys next to you. Okay? Don't stick your finger in that outlet. Thank you very much. Okay? I tell the kids this covers all the duh rules. If you wouldn't break these rules at school or at home, duh, don't break them here. Okay? This helps kids understand. And we...
I hope you've enjoyed the program so far. That's part one in our two-part series called Dynamic Children's Church. Be sure to join me for the next episode in which we'll cover part two. If you have comments, questions, ideas, criticisms, or anything you want to send my way, you can do so by sending it via email, jamie@jamiedoyle.com. That's J-A-M-I-E at jamiedoyle, J-A-M-I-E-D-O-Y-L-E. You can also check out the website, which is simply www.jamiedoyle.com. Thanks for joining me, and we'll see you next time.